Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Narteries podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Cross-Purposes Christianities. Broken Bargain with Democracy by Jonathan Rauch examines the once stable working relationship between American Christianity and liberal democracy and argues that the arrangement has frayed. Rauch, known for analyzing institutions and civic norms, explores how democratic systems rely on habits of mutual tolerance, truth-seeking, and restraint, and how religious communities historically helped supply those habits while also benefiting from constitutional protections. The book frames today's tensions as more than a culture war clash of values. It portrays a structural mismatch between how democracy functions and how parts of contemporary Christianity, especially in politicized forms, are now organized and motivated. Rather than treating faith as an enemy of pluralism, Rauch asks what kind of Christianity can coexist with democratic bargaining and what kind cannot. He also challenges secular readers to understand why religious commitment remains powerful and how democracy's health depends on institutions that can translate deep moral conviction into peaceful competition and compromise. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the historical bargain between faith and liberal democracy. A central topic is the idea that Christianity and American democracy long operated under an informal bargain. Democracy promised religious liberty, equal citizenship, and protection from state coercion. In return, major religious institutions often reinforce civic norms that democracy cannot enforce by law alone: respect for neighbors, acceptance of electoral outcomes, and a preference for persuasion over force. Rauch treats this not as nostalgia but as an institutional analysis. When the bargain worked, churches could thrive in a pluralistic marketplace of ideas, and democracy gained moral vocabularies that encouraged service, self-restraint, and community building. The argument also highlights that this arrangement depended on certain theological and organizational tendencies, including an ability to live with disagreement, to distinguish spiritual authority from political power, and to view opponents as fellow citizens rather than enemies. The topic sets up the book's diagnosis by clarifying that democracies are fragile, especially when groups decide that losing an election is illegitimate or that politics is a zero-sum holy war. It also frames why restoring democratic stability is not simply about winning debates, but about re-establishing mutually beneficial expectations between religious communities and the constitutional order. Secondly, how polarized politics reshapes religious identity and incentives. Rauch explores how modern polarization changes what it means to belong to a faith community. In a highly sordid political environment, religion can become a badge of partisan identity rather than a spiritual discipline. The incentive structure shifts: leaders are rewarded for mobilizing outrage, members are rewarded for loyalty signaling, and institutions are tempted to trade pastoral care for political influence. This topic examines how media ecosystems, fundraising dynamics, and social networks intensify the pressure to frame political opponents as existential threats. Rauch argues that such dynamics distort both religious practice and democratic participation. A faith community that once formed people for patience and reconciliation may begin to mirror the logic of political combat, where compromise is betrayal and truth is subordinate to team advantage. The result is a feedback loop. Politics becomes more moralized and absolute, while religion becomes more instrumental and combative. The book does not reduce the story to individual hypocrisy. It treats it as a problem of incentives and institutional design. Readers are prompted to consider how congregations, denominations, and influencers can either resist these pressures or amplify them, and how those choices affect democratic stability, public trust, and the possibility of shared civic life. Thirdly, democratic norms, pluralism, forbearance, and the discipline of losing. Another key topic is the set of democratic norms that keep disagreement from turning into repression or violence. Rauch emphasizes that democracy is not only elections and constitutions, it is also a culture of pluralism, a willingness to treat opponents as legitimate, and a commitment to rules even when the outcome is painful. This includes the discipline of losing, accepting that you can be outvoted today and still have full rights tomorrow. The book explores how these norms are eroded when groups decide that procedural fairness is less important than substantive victory, especially when victory is framed as a sacred mandate. Rauch links democratic health to truth-oriented practices such as debate, evidence, and accountability, arguing that these are collective achievements rather than automatic defaults. When citizens and institutions stop sharing basic methods for resolving disputes, politics becomes a contest of power rather than persuasion. The topic also suggests that religious communities can either strengthen or weaken these norms. They can cultivate humility, moral reflection, and respect for conscience, or they can fuel certainty, suspicion, and refusal to coexist. The takeaway is practical: preserving democracy requires habits that must be taught, modeled, and reinforced, not merely demanded. Fourthly, when Christianity seeks power, risks to both church and republic, Rausch addresses the hazards that arise when segments of Christianity pursue political dominance rather than civic influence. Mikan also backs up the way Jainist. The argument is not that believers should avoid politics, but that the methods and aims matter. When faith is tied to state power, it can invite backlash, narrow the church's moral imagination, and incentivize leaders to prioritize winning over witness. Democratically, the danger is that politics becomes framed as a contest between the righteous and the illegitimate, making compromise morally impossible. Religiously, the danger is that spiritual authority is confused with partisan authority, turning the church into an arm of political machinery. Rausch examines how such entanglement can corrode trust, since outsiders view religious claims as a cover for factional advantage, while insiders become dependent on political victories to sustain identity. This topic also highlights that coercion is a poor substitute for persuasion in a pluralistic society. If a movement relies on political force to secure cultural compliance, it may gain short-term wins but lose long-term legitimacy and moral credibility. The discussion encourages readers to distinguish between advocating for moral convictions within democratic rules and seeking a privileged status that undermines equal citizenship. Lastly, Paths Toward Repair: Institutional Humility and a Renewed Civic Partnership. The final major topic is constructive, what a repaired relationship between Christianity and democracy might require. Rausch points toward approaches that reaffirm constitutional pluralism while allowing robust religious participation. This includes recommitting to truth-seeking, rejecting conspiratorial thinking, and building institutions that reward integrity rather than outrage. On the religious side, the book highlights forms of Christianity that can coexist with democratic bargaining, those that practice humility, recognize the dignity of dissenters, and focus on persuasion, service, and example. On the civic side, it challenges secular institutions to avoid treating religion as inherently anti-democratic, since many communities provide social capital, moral formation, and local support networks that strengthen civic life. Repair also implies clearer boundaries. Churches should not be instruments of partisan mobilization, and the state should not become an enforcer of theology. Rausch emphasizes that democracies need mediating institutions that help people live with disagreement, including congregations, universities, and civic associations. The goal is not to eliminate conflict, but to channel it through legitimate processes that preserve peace and equal rights. Readers come away with a framework for evaluating leaders and movements by whether they strengthen shared rules of coexistence. In conclusion, this book is best for readers who care about American democracy and want a clearer framework for understanding the role of religion in public life, including Christians worried about politicization, secular readers trying to interpret religious politics without caricature, and policymakers or educators focused on civic stability. Its main benefit is perspective. It treats today's conflicts as problems of incentives, norms, and institutional behavior, which helps readers move beyond blame and toward workable standards for evaluating movements and leaders. By emphasizing democratic practices such as pluralism, forbearance, and truth-seeking, the book offers a way to think about coexistence when moral disagreements run deep. It can improve a reader's life by sharpening civic judgment, reducing knee-jerk tribalism, and clarifying how to participate politically without sacrificing conscience or community. Compared with many similar books that either scold religion or defend it uncritically, Rausch aims for a more diagnostic and pragmatic stance. He takes faith seriously while insisting that democracy has requirements that no faction can ignore. That combination makes the book worth buying for anyone seeking a sober, actionable understanding of how a healthier civic partnership could be rebuilt. If you would like to support Jonathan Rausch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.